Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from North or South, or from the East or West? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Broadcaster. So
As I've said before, despite the pundits like Morris and Frank Luntz, who are very good at what they do, I don't think they realize that, sure, that looks like there's going to be a political tsunami, but if I was on the other side, the Pelosi-Reid crowd, I'd do everything I could to not only stay in power, but to get more of my people elected so that I reinforce my base and power base. That's the way I look at it. That's the way I learned in Cook County how things happen. So we shall see what we shall see, but, a lot of us are hoping for real change. When I heard that, I said, it's not a matter of change, it's reform. You can change the faces and still have the same policies, practice, and perversions. So, when I heard Mr. O's people push that as their theme song, I said I was very leery of that, among other things. I'm going to play a little clip from Nancy Pelosi's Political Godfather. A little down since we just had this, Jeff. So here, John Burton, the late John Burton, I interviewed him a while back before he died, on animal welfare. And, of course, he was the political godfather for Nancy D'Alessandro Pelosi. His wife took over his seat, Stella Burton. She died of breast cancer and anointed, went along with what her husband, John Burton, who was the majority Democrat leader in the U.S. House of Reps, and from the San Francisco seat, had anointed Nancy Pelosi. Harry Britt, who was a homosexual activist and a democratic socialist and also a former Methodist minister, I don't know if he was defrocked or what, he wanted the seat, and the radical left in San Francisco and in the district wanted him to succeed Sally Burton. But the Democratic chieftains smoke-filled rooms, and it's beyond cigars and pipes. It was marijuana and cocaine, just anointed Nancy Pelosi, who has her own drug scandal involving a warehouse in Hayward, California, where $1 billion worth of heroin was found. She claimed she didn't know anything about it. Well, here goes.
Here, Paul, for Western Public Radio and KLW. I'm speaking to Congressman John Burton. Congressman, with all of our economic troubles, there's still a small growing number of people who are concerned about, you might call them, esoteric issues such as animal welfare and animal rights. You mentioned something about the schism between the civilized and the barbaric congressmen or legislatures. How can the concerned voter appeal to their sensitivity, their consciousness, in getting animal welfare laws passed and better conditions for a uniform, say, federal statutes for animal welfare?
I happen to have on my staff a person who's in among the leaders in this effort for humane animal legislation, and I think just about everybody involved in this subject matter area from the congressional point of view is in support of my candidacy as a result of my position on that issue.
What is your position, Congressman? Briefly.
Well, without being simplistic, I have supported whatever proposals have been made for humane animal legislation.
Now, there was one bill that was pending before Congress earlier this year, and then it kind of disappeared. I think it was something to do with testing in laboratories. Do you recall the bill offhand? I think Congressman Richman was sponsoring, or his name was mentioned with it before he got into problems.
Without you being more specific, I don't know.
I know there are a lot of bills before Congress.
Yeah, we have about 25,000 of them.
Okay, one final question. How can the voter who's environmentally oriented and who's concerned about animal welfare, how can they get through? How can they reach a congressman?
By voting to reelect Phil Burton to Congress.
That's kind of political. Thanks, Congressman.
Here, Paul, for Western Public Radio and KLW. I'm speaking to Congressman John Burton.
Okay, that was, sorry about that, wrong button pressed. I'm a little shaken. That's Burton, the Burton brothers. There was John, who is the was also in Congress. He was forced out of Congress because he had a cocaine problem. And, of course, drugs are no stranger to this crowd. And we had the marijuana. They're pushing the marijuana. Nancy is pushing needle exchange, although what's happened is it said nothing about the AIDS problem. And people, what I call sexual kamikazes, they really don't care. They feel that they, some of them feel that they've got AIDS, that they want to take other people out with them. It's sad that there are people like that who will not take responsibility for their irresponsible sexual practices. So we'll see what happens, whether Nancy Pelosi is dethroned as Speaker of the House. There is a pond that's full of muck here in San Francisco, and they call it, somebody put up a sign saying, Nancy Pelosi's pond. She didn't clean the swamp. That was her claim when she got the title, assumed the mantle of Speaker of the House of the U.S. House of Representatives. So we shall see what we shall see. One of the questions that I keep bringing up, and I haven't gotten any answers, and we did do some research, and when I worked with government, I had to intercept Irish sweepstake tickets coming into the country. One of these days I'll get into that. But there are many countries around the world that have a national or local or regional lotteries. And the Irish sweepstakes was set up to fund the Irish hospital system, which was one of the best in the world at the time. I don't know what it's like now. In fact, I was just treated by somebody who had worked in the Irish hospital system, but he came from Northern Ireland, so I didn't say any more. But what we think we should look at as a source of relieving some of this financial difficulties, as people do have disposable income. And what's wrong with the lottery? We have a state lottery. We have the state of Virginia at the beginning of this country, around 1789, established a lottery to pay for bridges. I think it was bridges or public works. Congress, it's only about 100 years ago that Congress banned lotteries, a national lottery, and using the U.S. mails to send lottery tickets and any gambling material. So maybe we need to revisit that whole area. And, there's already Internet gambling, and, of course, I understand that's illegal. So, there's money out there, and this is a source of revenue that possibly we should look at and tap. I don't know where else they're going to get the money, and I understand now the monetary standard for part of the world is the Chinese yuan. It was Napoleon who said, they asked him why he didn't invade China, and he said, "Let China sleep, for when she awakes, the world will tremble." So she's awake, and of course, those of you who saw the news about that 60-mile bumper-to-bumper traffic backup in China, I mean, this is something. And, you know, you got to deal with all these people. The word China means Middle Kingdom. So, and the Chinese are very xenophobic. I'm part Chinese, my father's side. And I think I understand that tribe in the family. So, we should respect the Chinese. They've contributed a lot. In fact, every time you eat pasta, you can thank Marco Polo for bringing back the noodles to Italy. They were very advanced, and they invented gunpowder. They had treatment, animal husbandry, treatment for horses, as did the Muslims back around 711. Incidentally, those of you who are concerned, who know very little, virtually nothing about the Muslim invasion and occupation of Spain and parts of Europe, should go to my website, Dies Irae, which is Day of Wrath, from the Verdi Requiem, and look at Amicus Veritas at YouTube, and we'll update that, how the Muslims, when they Tariq ibn Ziyad, military leader, was invited to assist Roderick, who was king of the Visigoths. And they were a Germanic tribe, which very few people know much about, even today. And they ended up in Spain, and there was a dynastic fighter, fight over who was going to succeed to the throne. And Roderick invited the Muslims in, and they saw their opportunity to spread the Islam. And they were there from 711 till 1492, when King Ferdinand and Queen Isabel united, and they got married, and their forces united to drive the Moors out. There's a movie that came out in 1960, El Cid, and it's fairly accurate, starring Charlton Heston, who incidentally, my speech teacher at college, I had four classes with her, she used to do coaching. She's a professor from Northwestern, and Charlton Heston, I think she he may have gone to her. I know definitely that Kim Novak was one of her students, and I was behind Kim Novak several years in the same classroom, same desk, as a matter of fact. But I would recommend that movie so you can understand something about the Muslims in Spain. Also, James Mitchell, just going through his book, and we'll get into it next week, and I will run an hour to compensate for the half hour that I had to cut off today because I had to get back to the family. He wrote a book on Spain, and he quotes a French writer, Bertrand. And the French understood quite a bit about more than any other Western European nation, because they, the French Foreign Legion and French colonization of North Africa in French Morocco, Algeria, and of course the Algerian War, horrible civil war down there. De Gaulle, the great Charles de Gaulle, finally ended it, and it almost cost him his life because the Coloons wanted to assassinate him because they felt he double-crossed them. He made a famous statement, and this is an example of you got to listen very carefully what political leaders say. He got on the he went to the city hall in Algiers, and he got up on the where the mayor gave his public announcements and that, and he says, "I understand you." He didn't say, "I'm going to give you what you want." They interpreted it. The people wanted, the phrase was, "Algeria is French," and he wanted to keep it French, and these people had come from France and planted vineyards and had been there for generations. I met, when I was in France, met a colonel who had retired from the French army, had served in Algeria. Didn't want to talk about service and all the tortures and things that they did. But it's an example of how you have to listen very carefully to politicians and political leaders. And as soon as I had heard, when I reviewed that, because I've been doing a project on political leaders and speech, in their speeches, I said, "No, he didn't say I'm going to give you what you want." He said, "I understand you, but I have my agenda," and that's exactly what he did. And as I said, he got France out of Algeria successfully and got them out of Vietnam. Of course, we picked up the guns and kept the fight going in South Vietnam and Vietnam, which cost us even to this day. And there's still the question of whatever happened to all these MIAs. There are people that I am in communication with and people that I have worked with who served in Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. And I understand there may be, if they're still alive, there may be Americans who have been listed as MIAs and who have been kept captives by the Vietnamese and that crowd. As I think the word they use is pearls, and they did it to the French. There were a lot of French soldiers after, again, then through the fall of Vietnam, who were not returned, and the Viet Cong kept them as bargaining chips to extort money and concessions out of France and the United States. So that still needs to be explored and, you know, put the matter to rest. The other thing, the Los Angeles school district, here's a public policy question now. Los Angeles Times is publishing that report that the school district down there, and I had done some work analyzing school boards and that, and I'll publish that report. It's a little dated, but it's very accurate, of the quality of the teachers and the achievement of their students. And, of course, one of the questions is the beginning teacher gets stuck with some of the worst students, or students who are not performing. And, of course, a lot of the problems are with administrators. There are a lot of overstaffing. We saw that here in San Francisco and all the scandals that teachers and administrators and principals were political campaign contributions were extorted by the superintendent, a guy named Robert Alioto, who was not related to the Aliotos of San Francisco. He came from Yonkers. He was a controversial school district superintendent there. Before he got fired, he burned all his records, and he did the same thing in San Francisco. Then he got $250,000 severance to quit. He bought a Porsche, and like James Dean, he was speeding, he was drunk, and he crashed on the side of a road and died. And there were no tears shed for him in the school district. But this is something that every school district around the country and concerned parents should think about. Should there be a publication of the achievement level of the principals, of the teachers in the classrooms, and the principals and the administrators, you know, their managers? We could tell you stories, but we don't have time. The other issue, and I'm bringing up again on the Steve Nery case because it's heating up again, as I said last week, a former assistant U.S. attorney, Stephen Gruhl, who has his office here in San Francisco, and I think one down in L.A., is trying to get him out on parole out of state prison, which has already cost the American taxpayer an estimated $5 million with all the cost of people involved and correspondence back and forth with me and court cases and all that, which we will be publishing, which was censored and suppressed. But isn't it interesting that terrorists have more civil rights and more conditions of confinement rights than American servicemen who are in, and servicemen and women who are in local civilian jails and prisons here in the States? There's an estimated 5,000 is what that's a figure that was thrown at me. I haven't been able to nail it down, but I do have a case of a woman who was abused here in Northern California. That's her claim up north near Fairfield, Solano County. So we'll put that up. We have the track of the bio of the case and what she claimed happened to her. But this is probably the least scrutinized area of, if you want to call it, journalism or news, at how American servicemen and women who are accused and even convicted, tried and convicted, of crimes against local civilians, what their conditions of confinement are, how are they treated, did they get due process, all of that, habeas corpus. So, but it seems that the radical leftist ACLU, of which I was once a member, are tripping all over themselves to see the terrorists. If they had done these terrorist acts in Russia, they wouldn't be around for a trial because they don't fool around over there with these people. But they seem to have more rights than our American servicemen, who young men and women who put on the uniform, and they may have made a mistake. They may have been railroaded like Stephen Nery. And there's a couple other cases as well. Former U.S. Marine, railroaded into an insane asylum. A guy who was joining the Marines, came to this country and wanted to become a citizen. He got railroaded into state prison. Case I worked on, and there's another case I can't remember offhand. Then plus veterans who are in subsidized housing. They were in one case, and we'll put this up, where they were complaining about the abuse by the manager who fled the Philippines with his family, a crime family, and took over this housing project, which got $2 million a year from HUD for low-income senior housing, and was abusing the tenants, maced the 70-year-old woman, harassed another woman who's survived the Bataan Corregidor. She had a heart attack. Then when a lot of these guys were veterans of World War II, Bataan Corregidor, Vietnam War in one case. And when they kept complaining to HUD, to the U.S. attorney, the FBI, the local district attorney, nothing happened. And so he imported a hitman from Manila. So we'll bring that up because it's in the court records. And this is what goes on. Our military is not respected by the radical left and, of course, the don't ask, don't tell garbage, crotch politics, as I call it. We'll get into that. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Today, not many interesting births and deaths, but in the film business, Samuel Goldwyn, he was born today. His name is actually Goldfish. And a lot of the Jews from New York, for rag merchants they were called, went to Los Angeles and got into the film business. The Warner Brothers was actually Warshawski. And then there was Harry Cohn, Columbia Pictures, so a lot of these people. And then also those of you who remember the Dam Busters, the famous movie, it's accurate, where the Royal Air Force was trying to knock out these dams in the Ruhr Valley and flood the industry there. It was very successful in how they invented, how this guy invented this bouncing, it was like a big exercise ball and was a bomb, and how it breached the dams and flooded the Ruhr Valley and slowed down Hitler's war effort. Eric Coates, he was born today. And those of you who like Horatio Hornblower's films and movies, the one with Gregory Peck and Virginia Mayo, great romantic tale of the British Navy during the Napoleonic Wars. C.S. Forrester was born today. And then Mother Teresa, her name's being invoked by some of the worst people, her birthday today. There's a dispute over this. Now, my understanding is Lyndon Johnson was born on August 22nd, but a couple of people listed him as August 27th today. And then among the deaths today, the Beatles manager, the guy who really made the Beatles, Brian Epstein, he was gay, supposed to have an affair with John Lennon, a very controversial episode. He died of a drug overdose. Lord Mountbatten, the guy who was the last viceroy in England, a lot of questions about his. The Queen apparently didn't like him because there are allegations about his personal life. And then the black nationalist W.F. Du Bois, he died today. And then, of course, I mentioned Krakatoa. So let's see if we have a Krakatoa this fall at the election. And then we'll get into next week. I'm going to run an hour on Tuesday to compensate for today, and then we're doing the Tuesday and Friday. We'll get into more of the history of Islam and Muslim invasions of Western Europe. About 50 years after Elizabeth and Ferdinand drove the Moors out of the Muslims out of Spain, a Polish general, Jan Sobieski, the Turks, Muslims, invaded Europe, and there was a battle at Vienna, and it was also a naval battle, the Battle of Lepanto. And Sobieski and the Allied forces defeated the Turks at Vienna, and the flag of the Muslims was the crescent. So Sobieski ordered the bakers of Vienna to bake, to do something to celebrate the victory. So he came up with the crescent roll, or croissant. That's the origin of the croissant. It's not French. Ironically, a Pole was probably, and a Viennese, Austrian, was responsible for that creation, and we enjoy it today. But this whole Cordoba thing is, we feel, is a in your eye and a punch in the stomach, as they say in Cook County, that type of politics. There's also an imam out here in the West Coast who was responsible for politically seducing a young boy John Walker Lynn, or Lynn Walker, I keep getting confused, a 16-year-old boy who from a dysfunctional family. He was involved in affordable housing racketeering out here, political racketeering. I don't know if he got any project, but people were asking, why is an imam who's connected to the Taliban, or allegedly connected, why is he getting involved with affordable housing? Is this housing for terrorists? So we'll get into that. So we'll end today. I'm sorry we cut it short, but it's a family matter. And we'll just end with what's really going on. That'll cheer me up.
Times have changed, and we've often rewound the clock since the Puritans got the shock when they landed on Plymouth Rock. If today any shock they should try to stem, instead of landing on Plymouth Rock would land on them. In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was a little dull or something shocking. But now God knows anything goes.
Yes, that's true with the politicians. So this is Peter Paul Brazola. Thank you. I'm sorry we had to cut it short. But now I got to attend the funeral. Good night.